But you know, this morning as we were worshiping, and with songs that I'm sure to many of us, very familiar songs, songs that we can sing by heart, not necessarily looking at the words of the songs. But I just wonder how much that we declare with our lips, have we really encountered God? Have you met with God this morning? Has He met you? Have you encountered Him? You see, in the course of a typical week, we are so busy with so much of our own agendas, our own schedules, the things that we need to do, just not enough time to do. And honestly, many of us wouldn't put God as priority, if I may use that word. That is getting all these other things done. And then if I have time for something more, God, you are next in queue. Honestly, is that how we really consider the relationship that we declare to have with God through His Son, Jesus Christ? A relationship of royalty, called to be children of the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So have we really encountered Him? And even in the course of a typical work week, we do not do so. Then what about on a Sunday morning? When we come for a worship service like this, together, and if there's still no connection this morning, this moment, I honestly say this, we are in dire straits. The world will continue to swirl around, move ahead, leave us behind, never quite able to catch up, never quite understanding what is happening, and striving after what the Bible says, the wind, the futility of life, all is vanity. I share this really to encourage us, each one of us, that this moment and this day, this hour of worship, both personally and as a family of God, if we have not connected with God, we have missed it all together. And I urge you to consider this. The odds are against us. The things of the world are not the things of God. That's why the Bible says clearly, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, and they are passing away. But only that which is done in the will of God will last forever. Amen. Bible says so. The highest of authorities, no other decree, no other injunction needed, no other encouragement, no other warning is needed. That if we truly declare that we are children of God, confessing our sins, receiving Jesus as our Savior, and by His grace and through faith, by the power of His Holy Spirit, walking in His ways, fulfilling His will, that's wonderful. That's truly marvelous. That's truly what really matters. But otherwise, it's all vanity. It's all futile. However great the achievements may have been that we think we have done, successes that we have conquered in life, or even the things that we have acquired, the status that we have arrived at, it's not what the world thinks of you. It's not even what you want and think of yourself, but how God sees it. And He's the one that matters. Let's really, with humble hearts, sincere faith, submissive will and spirit. Open our hearts, our lives once again to Jesus. Thank Him for forgiveness of our sins, our trespasses. Thank Him that in spite of our waywardness, He is always there, the good shepherd, who continues to guide us back into paths of righteousness. Thank Him for His word that maybe we are so familiar with, that we have memorized, that we've read the Bible over and over again many times already. But is it really a lamp to our feet, a light to our path? Or is it just some spiritual flavoring that we put over our lives? And especially so when we are congregated together as a so-called people of God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you to doubt your salvation. I'm not giving you any anxiety by way of the things of God, because He doesn't put us through times of stress and anxieties. His is always perfect rest, restfulness, confidence and assurance. Not what the world can give, the peace that Jesus says He gives. Be of good cheer. He has overcome. And in Him, through Jesus, He leads us always in His victory. Amen. Let's look to Him in prayer for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our families, for the church, and then perhaps especially today, the actual day of our national day, and to pray for the country. Father, forgive us. We know how much wayward we are than we care to admit. And yet You are so gracious, ever so merciful. Your word says clearly, if You regard our iniquity, our sinfulness, who can stand before You? None. But for the sake of Your love for us, You gave Your Son Jesus, and we are thankful. And again, Lord, we pray that we will not just memorize, murmur this as just truths that we are familiar with, but we are truly thankful. And in spite of whatever opposition and obstacles that we may face, hindrances that cause us to be drawn away from You, teach us, Lord, to cultivate Your presence, not just within us, but all around us. That we can be conscious every moment of the life as Your Holy Spirit prompts us, as Your word quickens us. God is with us, and God is in us. He goes ahead of us. He's behind us. He's beside us. He's within us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And Lord, we know that this is a spiritual discipline that truly is our highest calling, because when that is being done, worship flows spontaneously from the heart with gratitude and thanksgiving and deep love and awe and reverence. Turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face. Then the things of the world become strangely dim. The things of the world will always be dim if we choose to see the light of God. Because it is the light that dispels darkness, that takes away our distress, disappointments in life, and helps us to put our trust. That when we last sang this song, You are the Lord in whom I trust. It's not just some euphemistic saying. It doesn't just sound good. It is our complete acknowledgement that You and You alone are our all-sufficiency, satisfaction, and security. So Lord, cleanse us. Renew us this day as we stand before You. As we now stand and pray for our loved ones, for our families, and for one another, for the fellowship of God, the family of God here in this place, at the house of prayer. As we pray even for our nation, and be reminded that your word says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the righteousness that we talk about is not the righteousness of men, that it has to be the righteousness of God in Christ. And if it is the righteousness of God in Christ, it is the righteousness that has been imputed in us and for which we represent God. And we can pray for the nation with all authority and power and assurance. Thank you. You continue to raise up a people for yourself, whatever the circumstances, however bad it might be. Your word says to pray for governments and all in authorities, because every authority ultimately comes from you. The ultimate authority, the one who sits on the throne. And we are thankful, Lord. We are thankful that when we pray so, whatever may be the political, social, economic conditions of the nations that your people live in, the trust is in God and Him alone. Amen. And the confidence is in His deliverance and in His victory. And you ask us, O Lord, to pray that we learn to live in peace, that these will be good conditions for the preaching, propaganda of your gospel. We pray for kings and those in authorities, that they will come to know you as personal Savior, Jesus, but otherwise that they will be struck by the conscience. And the Lord, you can guide them in ways that at least humanly are just and kind and fair. So Lord, we thank you this day we can stand together to pray a prayer that truly invites your presence here in our midst. Not just we sense it, feel it through a euphoria, an exuberant time of worship, of singing, but simply because we recognize the Spirit of the living God is here in our midst. Amen. Amen. And Christ is enthroned upon our heart. Thank you as you commit all of us unto you and the rest of this service, the ministry of your word, unto your purposes and to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Tony and the worship team. Happy National Day, right? I received a message, Pastor, wear red, okay, tomorrow. I said, I don't have red shirt. Red tie can or not, parke or not. I failed, you know, I failed. The person who texted me said, cannot, not accepted. I almost want to say, those of you who are not in red, there is a penalty. Write the Singapore pledge. Send it to the PMO. I'm just kidding. Good to have us all here. Jovin, you are here with us for the first time. Chloe's friend. And you are with us at our Chinese New Year outreach. Chloe has been bringing good friends. I mean, very good in bringing friends. Their friends are, of course, good already. And we are so thankful for many of you who also make efforts to bring people. You see, at the end of the day, there are some who sow, preach the word, others who water. But God is the one who gives the increase. Amen. He who sows, he who waters are one, the same. But all glory to God who gives the increase. So this morning I was very, really challenged, you know, what I've shared, even through the prayer that I prayed. You see, what happened was yesterday afternoon I had some time, and Sally, you know, she's still recovering. She's getting very much better. Thank you all for praying. And she was watching a movie called Daniel. And I realized that there are many other books that are there. But better make sure they are correct versions, not perverted versions or wrong ones. But it really struck me, that whole narrative, an hour and 30 minutes, so I missed the first part. But sometimes, you know, like they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words and all that. You probably prefer to see a movie down than hear me preaching, right? Come on, come on. I'm ready to step down. But what struck me was the way it was presented and the story of Daniel and thrown into the lion's den and furnace of fire and all that and what have you. I mean, we know all this story in terms of what we learned through Sunday school and perhaps preach. But to suddenly yesterday watch the show and felt a sense of sacredness, a sense of what a man Daniel was, who had an excellent spirit, who distinguished himself, who did not worry about whatever people may try to do against him, set up traps for him, that he was caught praying to his God and all that, thrown into the lion's den, so on and so forth. But what I wanted to say is not so much the details of what you are familiar with, but the identification with the person of Daniel. And perhaps many other, I'm tempted now to watch slowly some of the other shows, especially the personification of the past prophets and men and women of God. We need heroes, but we need correct heroes. And those are from the Bible, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hall of Fame, who are the people. Because if we are looking just around us to get inspired, to be challenged, perhaps our political leaders are doing a fine job. They are doing good by worldly standards in comparison with other countries. Not much that we can really argue about, you know, when generally life is good here. Holiday period, people take off for holidays. Weekends, malls are packed and all that. And then you say, hey, how come we still see people, old people collecting cardboards, cleaning tables and all that? I can't reconcile all this. We've got a pastor friend who came, and one of the things, and that was years back, he noticed, he was like, pastor, how come so many old people cleaning the tables? We were in the hawker center just having food, simple. I couldn't understand that kind of question. I almost really felt so embarrassed. I didn't almost, I felt really embarrassed. Why am I sharing this? Because I think the challenge for us is as Christians to truly live up to our faith. And I think this is where it brings us in continuation our book of James. I've told you that I've really approached this in a very different perspective. I've discarded the past series that I did, I told you about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and kind of re-looked into everything. And this was a quotation that I really felt touched by and wanted to share with you. Bold, practical Christian living. Are you bold enough to really live the Christian faith as we ought to, that reflects that faith, a genuine faith, not a shaky faith, not a by the weather kind of faith? It depends on my mood, it depends on my circumstances, and then a life that is transformed. And then that we saw, and I mentioned to you that many Bible commentators look at the book of James as the equivalent of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Pithy, P-I-T-H-Y, huh? Sharp, succinct words. You know, you study Proverbs, you want a bird in hand is worth two in the longkang. That's what it is with Proverbs, huh? Just short and short. So, book of James is really that. I look at John MacArthur's outline. He listed all as 13 aspects of faith put to the test. But I kind of prefer this. Change a little bit from Bruce Wilkinson, Walk Through the Bible. We've covered tests of faith, right? We talk about count it all joy when you face trials and sufferings. Count it all joy. To live up to your faith, you must be joyful even in spite of your circumstances being so adverse. Last week we talked about do not be deceived again. Do not be deceived again. Temptation. You know, at the end, you and I, it is in our hands to overcome. Don't always blame the devil. Of course, he's the tempter. We cover that. Today, we start on, as I will look at, the testimony of faith. And the outline I will be sharing with you will be that there will be 7 aspects of faith that will testify of itself. Another broad heading for this might be the traits of faith. Traits as in T-R-A-I-T-S, traits, the characteristics. But I like the testimony of faith because it shows this is the testimony that you must show. If you indeed declare that you are a child of God, you are a Christian, and that you live by faith. I walk by faith, I live by faith. First song, Brother Tony started in the service this morning. And you know what's the first test? what's the first testimony? Faith obeys the word. You can talk all about faith and all the spectacular things about faith, healing, signs and wonders, whatever, miracles. And then it's just outward show. It's a big rah-rah, if you like. If I use the term correctly, I don't know. But true faith always goes back to the word of God. Because God's word is eternal. Heavens and earth will pass away, Jesus says. But my word, not even one comma, will pass away. That's what it is. That's why we are paying attention to the word of God. That's why we want to take the word of God seriously. That's why you're reading the Bible through for 1 year, and then doing Bible study, and then doing your devotionals. Because faith comes from hearing the word of God. You cannot have faith outside the word of God. It's as simple as that. If your faith is dependent on your circumstance, I shared with you, perhaps some of you might remember, years back when I ministered to a corporate figure very high up, and when I visited him, he said, "Today, Pastor, I'm very good. My faith is 200%. Other days, he said, "Not so good, but still very good, 120. Another occasion, "Pastor, today my faith goes under, below 50%. I said, "You can measure like that. Show me what instrument you use to, the heart, the feeling. It's not like that." So with this as the context and as the introduction, and like I said, don't worry, your pastor tries not to be chong hei, lo so, whatever. This one helps me. I'll only say what the scripture says. And I will not try to add from other scripture, because that's where Bible study comes in. You check with other references. But let's look at this passage. And as you read this passage with me now, as we read it together, I really encourage you to take the word seriously and try to see if you can, 3 parts to the message that we are reading today. So James, after telling us by way of introduction to be joyful, count it all joy in trials and in testings, and then to not be deceived in temptation, he goes on now to the very crux of our Christian belief, our faith in God. So then, my beloved brethren, sisters, all included, let every man, woman be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath is anger, okay? For the wrath, resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, which is the standard of behavior which he requires from us. It's basically saying in this phrase that don't just because of your anger, holy anger, as some people want to call it. Jesus also got angry, so I can be angry. But this is really anger turned around as if trying to show that, oh, I'm so indignant. I'm so spiritual. You guys are not up to it, you know? And you think that you are, through that behavior, demonstrating behavior that God is pleased with. You can pull wool over people's eyes. You can act spiritually in holy anger. And you get your way. Because people generally don't argue one right, especially Asians. You talk, he who talks the loudest wins the battle, wins the conversation. We give in to you, the one. Church, discipline, very hard. But this is a verse that tells us, watch it. Don't try to take advantage of that. Don't try to prove that, because of the way you can present yourself, your eloquence, your holy anger, as I might put it again, I must be correct. You are wrong. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the first part. There's going to be a heading for this part that will come later to the outline. So, very interesting, right? After the introduction about trials, temptations, testing, straight to the word, talks about a part of a way of life. Then, James continues. Instead, or but, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't try to deceive others. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, This one will be blessed in what he does. This is a connection between what we just read and the next passage that we are going to read. But I think, again, many of you are familiar with this and say, hey, don't seem right, what? He's a man, second part of verse 23, observing his natural face in a mirror. Wow, very handsome, eh? Today, pastor look very good. You all look very good, especially all those of you in red or close to red. But goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Makes sense or not? Doesn't make sense. Where got so fast see the mirror, happy with everything? Some of church members say, pastor, how you keep your hair always like air-proof, wind-proof? I say, I don't know lah. You look at yourself and then you go, you forget. It's absurd. But this is the irony. It's an absurd comparison to say, cannot be like that. But if you are just merely a hearer and not a doer, you are like that. Got the point? It's a mockery of any one of us who claims to say, I know. No, I'm not like that. What? I read the word, I do. But you read the word, you walk away, you don't do, you say nothing wrong. But the illustration God chooses to use is to say, you look at the mirror, you walk away, you forget how you look. How many of you forget that? Noah, you remember exactly how you look, everything is in place, right? So it's an absurd illustration which says that therefore, if you claim to be, I'm doing the word of God, although you're not, you're speaking absurdity. Amen. Finally, last one. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, you're spiritual, you're a person of God, you're a man or woman of God, but does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And the word useless is very strong. It's like, don't even keep it near you, you know. It's trash. You don't keep trash near anywhere to you. You dispose them. But pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We'll elaborate this a little bit more. Now, how many of you have read this passage before, honestly? Don't put up your hands. You have, right? How many of you have read it in a way where you think it challenges you really to live a life that says faith obeys the word? I didn't do that. It didn't impact me that way. But now he does. This text, oftentimes, what's the title? Now, I've been telling our worship leaders, now when we do a book, I'll give you the topic. That means we just go, what the topic is. Title is something that you choose to make the sermon perhaps more attractive and maybe more for remembrance. Doers, not hearers, right? Is that not the title you often get from preachers when they preach from this text and say it's about being doers, not hearers? And why? Because verse 22 says so. But be doers of the word, not hearers, deceiving yourselves again. Well, now every time I come to the word deceiving, I think I must write again. Thanks for Poman. Wow, fantastic. Because I remember that and I say it's very good. Just in case some of you wonder, because when Stu told me that, I thought he meant Poon, Brian. So when I sit there last week and I looked at Poon, Poon looked at me and said, Pastor Sibi Taiji, I possible. He didn't get it. Then I realized after service, oh, it was from Poman. I said, the Poman of play, very poor, very powerful. We know this, but let me suggest to you, the verse, second part before it is absolutely important. Receive with meekness the implanted word, able, which is able to save your souls, and then be doers. You see, the word receive, and I only just checked this out in the course of this study. Receive has the idea of a very warm reception, very loving, very welcoming. It's like somebody you like, and you receive the person very warmly, very welcoming. I may be hinting something, but please take the hints along with it, it's okay. But I'm just stating something as a fact. You like somebody, what would the way be that you approach a person and interact with a person? Oh, very warm, right? You don't like somebody, you walk away. right? You avoid siam. See the person coming from a mile away, you turn direction already. You change course. The word receive is you like somebody, something so much, you embrace with such warmth and with such welcome. I do not know whether this, and this is from the lexicon, okay? From the lexicon, it means dictionary of New Testament words. Do you really take the word of God with such warm and welcoming reception? Honestly, no. Falling behind in my Bible reading. Reading the Bible, oh, best way to go to sleep. You laugh lah. Cannot sleep, read the Bible. The other joke was like, cannot sleep, count sheep. But God says, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. That one straight away you sleep. Count sheep, you still count. I count every day. I count who present. The moment service over, I roughly have in mind who absent, who present. I know. Because of where you sit. I still use Yishun as a reference point. Okay? Because here some of you still like caterpillars a bit. Here, there, you run all over the place. Never mind that. But let me challenge you to see that while verse 22 is a very good verse to say this is the title for this message and it should stay, with verse 21b telling you how you must receive that implanted word with meekness and then with soul saved. You know what it's suggesting to you and me? Receive and reshape. You can talk about your receiving. Very enthusiastic, very warm, very welcoming. But no change. Again, it's like the man who looks at the mirror, walks away, forgets how he looks like. So again, this is just the introduction. What I'm going to share with you very simply is this. Firstly, that there is a contrast in this passage that we see between God, worldly living and godly living. So the first section that we read from 19 to verse 21, it's all about worldly living. The last part about true and pure religion is this. Visit orphans and so on and so forth. That's godly living. Interestingly, cementing the two or connecting the two is the change that comes through the word of God. Very practical. This is very practical. How you and I now will decide how we will live our lives obeying the word of God in a true sense. Not just in a spiritual knowledge way, not just in a way that I've been a Christian for tens of years, I know what it's like, I know how to behave myself, I know how to say the right words, I know how to say prayers even. No. Now, using the word where your faith truly obeys the word, see how this contrast between worldly and godly living. So it only leads for us to look at this passage a little bit more in detail and then see how this is put together. Worldly living, I'm not going to repeat again, but this is what we have read, right? Don't be so fast to speak, so fast to get angry. Your deep anger, spiritual anger, if you like to call it, is no reason for you to think that you are fulfilling the word of God. Verse 21a, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. You notice something here. This part is very general, but it covers all forms of speech. I may even say all forms of thought, speech, and conduct in a worldly sense. No need to elaborate. What are the things that are wrong that we shouldn't do? You can list and list and list. Does that help? Then there'll be too many. You take off, I say, I didn't do this, but then later we'll come to a part where it says, he who keeps the whole law but did not keep one, guilty of the whole law. It's going to be the next text. It's all very interesting. My point that I'm trying to put here is, when the Bible here tells us about worldly living, it just generalizes. Lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. It involves your thought pattern. It involves your speech. It involves your action. It involves everything. Everything that you know is filthy. that is leading to you to wickedness, evil, avoid this. And maybe as an aside, let me say this. You know, sometimes when we are together in social gathering, fellowship and all that, then sometimes the conversation gets a bit coarse, right? C-O-A-R-S-E. And then sometimes speech become a bit not so nice, right? Maybe some vulgarities start coming in. I'm conscious of these things more than I was previously. I especially tell you because I know myself. I was a carnal Christian for 8 years or so before I turned back to the Lord and really turned around. But I know what it's like to live a life that is streetwise, coarse language, evil thoughts. Luckily, God protected us, seriously. Preserved in many ways. So, worldly living generalized for you and me in ways that you and I can understand. But godly living, the last one. If you think you are religious, but you do not bridle your tongue, you deceive your heart. Your religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion is that you visit orphans, widows, keep oneself supported from the world. So while worldly living is just generalized for us because we know what is worldly living, we don't need to have it enumerated 1 to 100, 1 to 1,000. The list is really endless. You can create all kinds of evil if you want on your list. But godly living, and I look at this more carefully, there are 3 areas that scripture seems to be targeting in. Control of the tongue, your speech. If anyone thinks he's religious, spiritual, but does not bridle his tongue, you're bluffing. Bridle is to take in, rein in. Right? Like a horse, you rein in, or an animal that you're in control. You don't say things that you otherwise are prepared to flare up and speak. You're careful, circumspect with your speech. Let your speech be seasoned with grace and salt. Add some spices also, for some of you who like spices. Control of tongue. I trust most of us are okay here, generally. Because I know what it's like. I've seen it in churches before, where somebody can just flare up, even right before our eyes, in a service, and between siblings, and even siblings in ministry. So it's very serious. Guarding your tongue, guarding your speech. Secondly, real care and concern for the needy. I put the word needy in inverted commas because orphans, young, especially in children, orphans means no father, no mother, very poor thing. Widows, also sad. But then maybe some are strong. They are not necessarily needy. In fact, I know of many widows. You know many of them also, who in spite of what happened to their spouses being taken away, still going strong in the faith, still keeping themselves on the right track. So I put in needy in inverted commas, whether or not we show real care and concern to people in need. And then the last one, unspotted from the world, consecrated unto God. So there's control of the tongue, talks to the self, care for others, care for the needy, talk to others. Unspotted from the world, consecration unto God, between you and God. That's what true godly living is. So this is one aspect of application of true godly living. Of course, if you want to do a study on godly living, you do through the whole Bible, there'll be many examples by way of people, by way of instances, by way of principles, by way of truths. But just for what this passage teaches us, are we even just following this? So you have worldly living, godly living. What is the change? How does the change come about? The middle part, and I've already highlighted what receive means. Who looks, verse 25, looks into the perfect law. Again, I checked the lexicon, the word looks into is like somebody go bending down, looking more carefully. A stooping act that calls for more detailed insight. who perseveres, don't give up so easily. The word of God is yes and amen. All good gifts come from God. In Him there is no shadow of turning. That is our cure. That is our provision from God, the wisdom, the confidence of who He is and what He has promised. That even in spite of the worst circumstances, 2 weeks ago we had this sermon, right? God gives you the wisdom and you persevere. Of course, sometimes you say, God doesn't seem to square with your word. God, how come this happened? Especially if it's a tragedy or it's something that you find so hard to accept. I think for us, generally, we try to help each other to accept adversities and setbacks. But we know it's not easy. Sometimes I say, I know how you feel, but you don't know how I feel. Unless you say that I'm in the same position. But then there's another thing altogether. Do you have to be in the same position to know how some person feels? Like sometimes when I say you want to help a drug addict, let me take drugs first. I learned to be an overcoming drug addict, then I know how you feel. Cannot be correct, right? But the idea is that even in spite of when it seems God's word is so contrary to circumstances, not contrary to the character of God. Character of God, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Circumstances may change. But God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him. Now you know Romans 8:28, right? And one of the things I've been telling you in the course of messages is when we do book series, you cover more detailedly and more in-depth. When you pick out individual verses, like we often do, for memory, for putting our trust in God, like Romans 8:28, consistently voted the most popular verse among Christians. Romans 8:28, for God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So you know all these verses. But when you have an anchor of the Word of God, a reservoir of His Word, those individual verses will become rhema, if I may use it. I know that's a problem for some people. It's no more just a logos word, no more just a general word I pluck out from Romans 8:28, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. It becomes rhema. I know this verse so well. But today, this moment, this instance, it really speaks to me. The Lord is my shepherd. God is in control. So I need to persevere. I act. And He will be blessed in His doing. Amen? I'm closing. Contrast between worldly and godly living depends on whether you put your faith into obeying God's word. And if you put your faith into obeying God's word, change will come through God's word. And let me just conclude with this final verse. To me, this summarizes everything, right? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, well, that one we champion. We're waiting for the next makan already. But whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Interesting, why you say eat or drink? Because I think this one written by Paul. Paul came to Singapore. So he was on a food tour. So he knows. You all want to laugh. But interesting. Appealing to the most basic, as it were, of human senses. And the most delightful, right? Eat, drink, be merry, fellowship. And God says, while you're enjoying all these things, or whatever you do, are you doing it to God's glory? So faith obeys the word. This is the first testimony. Next week later, you see the announcement. Faith, what is the title again? Next week, you're the worship leader. Faith shows impartial love. You read that for next week. True faith obeys the word. And next point addresses is about love. Because God is love. Because bottom line is all about love. But true love that really demonstrates what Jesus says. Love one another. A new commandment I give unto you. Love as I love you. By this all men shall know you are mine. In fact,
did I just mention last week also came across a clip where apparently it was John MacArthur who was featured, and someone asked him, "Pastor, how do I find a church to go to? Which is a good church? What is a good church?" And his response, being a well-known Bible commentator, he got his own seminary, he preached, was the only preacher who has preached from book A, book 1, Genesis, to book 66, Revelation. And he says, first and foremost, the word of God. That is the most. But he said the second thing. Find a church where you find true love. True love. I thought about it, I said, that's what it is. I know how we create our fellowship in a good way. I talk about the ecosystem like the adults fellowship have. They come together, they pull your way together. Fellowship, and when they sing the song, I say, "Pastor, your favorite song." I say, "That's not my favorite song. It's the song I epitomize this fellowship. Not just 今天不回家, not just today, but don't go home. 天天不回家, every day don't go home." But why? Because you created an ecosystem. You created a synergy. And I've been telling our young adults and youths and all that, create the same. It's about true fellowship and real love. It all connects. So as we take these seven testimonies of faith, as I call them, we look at the first today, it obeys the word. Next week, how it shows impartial love. Then tongue come back and some others come back. Read it and be blessed. Let us pray. Lord, you say that your word is spirit and life. It's an eternal word. It is a word that will never pass away. It is a word, Lord, that brings faith into our hearts, that solidifies our belief in you, our love for you, service and commitment towards your cause. A word that shows us and distinguishes between worldly living and the things of the world and true godly living, living in the ways of the Lord, for the will of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord. So we want to take this seriously, Lord, not just simply because it is something that is given to us as an assignment, but that, Lord, this is really your blueprint to help us truly come to know you in a personal way. Like at a very outset of this service, we may sing songs that are familiar, words that are so meaningful, but have we really encountered you? Have we received you? And even more importantly, have you received us back unto yourself? So guard our hearts, O Lord. Heart is desperate, deceitful, desperately wicked. But only you, Lord, can put that heart of flesh in us and the heart of love, of praise and worship unto your name. Continue, Lord, to sanctify our lives through your Spirit, through your word, and to energize, anoint each one of us as you empower us to live for your sake and unto your glory. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Neil, for guiding us today in what it means to truly live according to God's ways and God's word. So thank you for that. And good morning, church. And wishing you all a very happy National Day. Yeah, anyone going for the NDP later this evening? Anyone? Justin is. I think Justin has to. Yeah, I hope you all have wonderful plans for today and tomorrow. So I'll take us through the announcements. Next week's pre-reading, as was mentioned by Pastor Neo during the service earlier, Faith Shows Impartial Love. So if you'd like to read before coming to service next Sunday, the text would be James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Yeah, so please do read that before coming next Sunday. The next one. The Yaya Ministry. The upcoming meeting will be on 15 August, which will be this coming Saturday. And they will go through Exodus chapters, chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. So if you are a youth or a young adult and would like to join, please do inform Brother Yuhui or Brother Joel or even Brother Jerome as well, if you would like to join. Yeah. Next one. Okay, the Ladies' Fellowship. So this is happening on 22nd of August, which is a Saturday at 3:30 p.m. The venue will be at Uncle Bansing and Auntie Sunli's house, 39 Saraka Road, and it will be followed by a dinner at 6:30 p.m. So as mentioned by Uncle Bansing last week, because this is a prayer event, so the gentlemen are encouraged to only come for dinner, or if you would like to arrive earlier, there is a toast box at the Greenwich. Yeah. And I was also asked by the coordinators to announce some little pointers for those who would like to join. So they are encouraging all ladies, from the youth to the young adults to the adults, and also adults young at heart, to sign up if you haven't yet. And signing up earlier allows the organizers to plan better for the event, and also not miss out on anyone who would like to join. And to make their jobs easier, there's a WhatsApp group called the Fifth Ladies Fellowship. sorry, excuse me. And if you are in that group, you can just respond directly on the poll on whether you are coming or not. And otherwise, if you're not in the group, please do feel free to text Auntie Mingling, Auntie Jocelyn, or Sister Huichi if you'd like to register for the event. And the deadline for the registration is on 12th August, which is the coming Wednesday. Yeah, so please do register if you'd like to attend this Ladies' Fellowship. Okay, next one. Watch One Hour, happening this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. The prayer team will be led by Auntie Sunli, and the remaining members of the prayer team would be Shana, Sister Shimin, Sister Ethel, Sister Whaley, and Brother Jerome. So if you have any prayer requests, please do feel free to speak to the prayer team. Yep, next one. Okay, I would like to invite the ushers to come up, and Brother Dave to lead us in prayer.
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your abundant blessings and for providing for all our needs. As we give our offerings today, we give with grateful hearts and a spirit of worship. Please bless our offerings and use them to advance your work, support those who need, and bring glory to your name. Teach us to be faithful, generous, and good stewards of everything you have entrusted to us. Please bless all of us. May our giving be a reflection of our love and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you prefer the e-way, if you don't have it on your phone yet, please do feel free to scan the QR code. So this announcement is about the upcoming mission trip to Khon Kaen, which will be from 2nd to 7th December, towards the end of the year. All are welcome to join. Now, at the moment, there is no deadline for the registration, so the registration is still open. And Brother Yuhui has asked me to inform all of you that you are all encouraged to join if you would like to go on this trip. So please do feel free to speak to Brother Yuhui if you would like to register to go to Khon Kaen in December. Okay, next one. Okay. So that would be all for the announcements. Now I'll invite all of you to rise. And as the worship team takes the closing song for today, which is All to Jesus I Surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I forever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender.
Let's pray. Dear Father,
yes.
We thank you for this time we could spend in your presence today. We pray for your blessings upon our church. We pray that you bestow your love upon all of us here and those attending service on Zoom. As we get ready to commence a new week, we ask that you bless us with the strength, willpower, and knowledge as we take on our task for the week. Show us how to continue to trust you and obey you, and please guide us as we seek to live out your will in our lives. On this National Day, we pray for your continued blessings upon our country. We pray for continued prosperity, peace, and security. We also pray that you bless our leaders with the knowledge to continue to make sound decisions, to continue to keep this country safe and secure. As we leave from here today, we ask that you grant us journey mercy back home and bless us with a peaceful week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. Have a very good Sunday. Thank you.